The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn.
But hurry, these offers won't last forever.
Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
Oh, you dirty bastard, Cam. I saw you that time. Yeah. Cam like to start the recording when we're not looking. Oh. Just have us sitting here talking regular, like, yeah, so I assassinated the congressman. And then I hear the, oh, we lie.
Oh, yeah.
It'd be evidence? Like, you don't know what I'm talking about. What up, peeps? We are back with another edition of Daddy Issues. Keon is away on business. When you say that, you just picture Keon in a suit, a briefcase. It's an empty briefcase. Ain't no paperwork. Yeah, it's just got maybe a sandwich, a drink in a bottle, and then that's
and a phone charger.
Yeah, that's all that's in his briefcase. But he's away on business. So we got Ryan Loomis here.
Yeah.
Have you done this before?
I have not done this before.
Oh, welcome, man. Welcome. Thank you. I wasn't sure because I be going a lot too, so
yeah.
I might forget who
me
came
and my beard. Thank you.
Yeah, the beard is I really just invited you for the beard. I wanted to know
ask him anything.
What the beard had to say on issues.
He has a mind of his own.
Well, let him talk. I just hear you. Let the beard chime in. Yeah, now we cooking. Nah, that's the nitty gritty. That's the side of the story I want to hear. We got Maya, of course.
Hello.
In the building. I see you drinking LaCroix.
Yes, sir.
Nasty.
Bougie.
Nasty beverages. I don't know. Maybe it's a flavor out there that I might enjoy, but.
Pamplemousse.
Yeah.
Which we found out was.
Found out from Cam.
French.
French for grapefruit.
Grapefruit.
Not. Supposedly, I was in French club. I took 2 years of French. I did not know that was grapefruit.
I'm going to start serving women pamplemousse in the morning. Hey, girl, come ahead and get a bowl of this pamplemousse.
I got you some pamplemousse and some water to start your day. The ingredients, only carbonated water, naturally essenced. Okay. I feel like they're holding back on more.
Naturally essence is a fancy fart.
Right. Naturally essence. All right.
Yeah.
Yeah, I haven't had a flavor that I liked on that yet. But you know, I don't miss carbonation, though.
You don't?
Nah. I really don't need the throat scratch. That's all it is a throat scratch.
I like the way it tickles the roof of my mouth.
The way it essences the roof of your mouth. Ryan is a father as well.
Yeah.
Tell us your, you got two kids.
I got two boys.
Uh-huh.
Two boys.
How old are they?
Carter is 5 and Roman turned 3 yesterday.
Wow.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. So his birthday is close to yours.
Yeah, the day after.
So you was wishing like, man, come on, just come out.
I wanted it. I really wanted him for my birthday because the deal was if he's born on my birthday, he'll have my name.
Oh.
But he came the day after, so we gave him my initials. His initials, or his name is Roman Anthony Loomis.
Uh-huh.
My Ryan Anthony Loomis.
Okay. Anthony is a good name. A lot of people out here.
It's all right, man.
They sleep on Anthony as a name. What you mean it's all right, man? You better.
Because no one goes by Anthony anymore.
Yeah, I do.
When?
In school.
When's the last time you've been in school?
I mean, that's neither here nor there, but that's, I went by Anthony in class.
Okay.
You know,
if I called you, it was like, can I speak to Anthony? What would you? What would you
be like? Oh, that's official. But I wouldn't try. I've never been like, don't call me that. It's just, you know, Tony is just easier to say.
If I see you across the street, I'll be like, yo, Anthony.
I might look. I might be like, oh, snap.
But you go give the slow turnaround, like, who is this?
Right. I'll probably look right away. I'll be like, yeah, I just keep going. Even if you called me Tony, I would still just keep going.
Okay.
Yeah, be like, Tony.
He's still going to keep it. Just
Ryan. Let me get up out of here. So, Roman and Carter.
Yeah.
Carter's 5?
Yeah, he'll be 6 in March.
Dang, man. Seemed like y'all just had them.
Right. You were. I want to say you were there. It's not like you were in the room, but you were around. You know, for the baby shower and all that, where we thought he was a girl.
Yeah.
A whole pregnancy, we thought he was a girl. Why? 6 ultrasounds said he was a girl. We had an ultrasound a week before the baby shower to make sure it was a girl. And the doctor was like, yeah, we still see the parentheses, which is what they call the vagina, you know. We still see the parentheses. We're like, all right, cool. Had a name picked out and everything like that. Carter was born, and the doctor was like, congratulations, it's a boy. I said, the hell it is.
Y'all had to scramble for a
name.
Yeah,
it was like, And she was high as hell in a recovery room, just came up with Carter. Like, that wasn't on any list.
She was like, Carter.
Yeah. I was like, you must be fantasizing about somebody named Carter, because it was in the back of your head somewhere.
She was like, what? It's a boy? Carter. Just waiting for Carter came out penis first, just to let y'all know. They had to pull him by the penis to get him out of there.
Yes, like, they did.
Y'all better recognize I am a boy.
Yes.
Man. Y'all gonna tell him that when he gets older.
Like, oh, man.
We thought you was a girl.
All his
time.
like the pictures, his first week or so, he was in all pink.
That was the outfits that
was
provided.
That's all we had, bro.
Yeah.
Pink stroller. He had that pink stroller. Well, it was like pink and purple for like a year and a half, 2 years.
He's getting his Cam'ron on, man. Call him Cam'ron. That's funny, man. Like, how much did he weigh?
How much do babies weigh nowadays? I don't know. He was
7
normal.
7 pounds?
Yeah, he was normal. It was like 7, 8 pounds. Yeah. You know, yeah. He was on the skinny side.
Okay.
Yeah.
The ultrasounds, man, I never see the penis when they point it out. Like, when they was like, here's the penis right here. I'm like, I don't see that. All I recognize is the head. Everything else, I'm just, they be pointing like, this little dark spot, right? They circling. This is the penis. I'm like, what? It just looked like darkness with shades of gray in there.
It's like you know, people say they see figures in clouds. That's what it's like.
Man.
It's like you have to have an imagination.
Well, at least I can see the cloud figures. I'm like, oh, yeah, I see Frederick Douglass in his cloud formation. But they be finding penises out of nothing. You can see the parentheses. Right? No, I can't.
I can't.
All I see is the head. I know it's a human in there. That's all I got. There's a baby present.
Well, you know, it's funny. Like how you say you can't see. Like people say they see facial features.
Yeah.
Like Chaz was like, oh, I know my baby was mine because I saw her nose.
That's,
I was like, you recognize,
man,
the nose, bruh?
No.
Nah, man. Like, it's no HD ultrasound.
Well, in Chaz's
or is
defense.
Are there HD ultrasounds?
They have those 3D ones out now that look really good.
Those 3D ones are creepy.
Very.
But in Chaz's defense, I guess since Chaz and Yo have different noses, it would be easier to be like, oh, yeah, it's my nose.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Because they don't have the same nose structure, nostril setup. You know, he got the black nose. He got the black people nose. So I guess it would be easier to find that.
I could see.
But if there was two black parents, I don't want to hear that. Like, hey, how you know?
And Nicole and I are both mixed. So it was like we had no idea what this baby was going to look like.
Right. And where do kids live? Where do they live?
They're in Michigan. Yeah, okay. They're in Michigan. I'm going to see them for Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
So. Yeah,
do they have plans to move out of Michigan?
Nah. Their mom is like dead set on staying in Michigan.
Tucked in?
Yes, definitely. Full tuckage up to the chin.
And you and mom get along?
We're cordial.
Okay.
We're cordial.
Okay. How you doing? Yes, the kids.
Yeah.
Like that?
Yeah. Well, you know, we definitely have our differences. Mm-hmm. You know, I recently removed her from all social media because it wasn't just her. It was on my end too. Friends going back and forth telling, like, hey, you saw what Nicole did? You saw this? And I'm like, okay. And then they were going back and telling her stuff that I did.
Yeah. What'd you do?
Well, I didn't do, like, okay. For instance.
What'd you do, right?
I have a YouTube channel, and I had this camera that I purchased when I was out in Michigan.
Uh-huh.
I've been out here 2 years now. And so in the video, I mentioned, hey, I got a new camera. I'm testing this out, blah, blah, blah. She took it as, someone was like, oh, did you see Ryan has this new camera? She's like, oh, you got money to buy new cameras?
Oh, I was like, we on that.
Okay.
Yeah.
And she had made this long social media post about it. I was like, hey, I politely text her. I was like, you're wrong. This is the same camera that I've had when I was with you, blah, blah, blah. I was like, who's going back and telling you? She's like, it doesn't matter. I'm like, okay, well, you know, and at that point I was like, you know what? Anyone, and I even sent out messages to people like, hey, if you are friends with her, I can't be friends with you. Social media wise, we're still friends. And if you feel like we're still friends, then we can remain so. But social media wise, nah, man.
You out of here. You had to block them, actually.
Yeah. Like, I deleted, blocked, did all this stuff. I switched my page, not to private, but like friends only type thing, you know, because I was completely open on my social media. And it's like, you know, it's like, okay, you know, like people are going back and finding stuff, trying to create, you know, mischief.
So. Right, right, right. Man, that sucks, man. Because y'all doing the child support thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm doing the child support.
Oh, right.
Yeah, so it's like, oh, you out here buying new cameras and doing this and doing that? Like, I worked for the Big Three while they were out here for the championship. Mm-hmm. It was just for a weekend. I did some work for them. So part of that little rant she went on social media, oh, you got new camera? You out here at Laker games and stuff? Because I took a picture of myself in the Staples Center.
Yeah.
And so she was like, oh, you out there front row at Laker games? I was like, I wish I was front row.
Right.
I'm working out here. Like, this money that I'm getting, you're getting.
Right.
You know, so, like, it's just, and I can see, like, it looks a certain way on social media. The lifestyle that we live, the job that we do, is fun sometimes.
Right.
So we get different benefits, you know. And so it looks like, oh, you're going out to eat here. You're doing this. You're hanging out with this person. You're doing that. When in actuality, like, I'm working.
Right.
You know. So
how do y'all come up with, like, a sum on the child support tip?
So what they did was, they initially, her and her lawyer Googled how much a TV writer makes in Los Angeles. So they were like, he's shaking his head over and he's like, oh, hell. So they were like, oh, they can make about this.
They could.
Yes. So for a WGA show, the minimum is $4,500. So you got to think of, they
$4,500 a week?
A week.
Okay.
So, and then there are those shows that make more than that. Like, when you're on shows like, I'm just saying, Friends, they were making like $1 million an episode, the writers. $1 million. They were making close to like
I'm sure they were six figures. Yeah.
Six figures.
The cast was getting $1 million.
So they, you know, they're doing all these averages and I was on the higher end. Like, well, it's just like, it was like, oh, you have the ability to make.
Right.
I think the number was like almost like $6,000, you know, a week. So we're going to take that and then average it, and you pay a certain percentage of that. I was scrambling for paychecks.
Man.
Because I was like, wait, this is how much I made this month. Like,
yeah, you got to.
I ain't made $6,000. Like, at that time, I hadn't made $6,000 in 3 months.
Right.
So I was like, no, this is, you know. And, yeah, so they do an average. They also take, like, what she makes, how much she pays, and, like, medical. Cause I don't have medical. Well, I have medical through the VA. But she pays for medical, so they're like, okay, well, she pays for this, so we're going to tack that on, you know, and, yeah, it's all kind of math out there.
Man.
Were you able to fix that?
Oh, yeah, yeah. It went from, I was slated to pay, like, $2,000 a month, you know. Now I'm not even paying half that. But,
okay.
You know, I send them, you know, that and more if I can.
Yeah,
you
know? Yeah.
Like, for instance, you know, it was Roman's birthday, so, you know, I paid the child support, and then I sent extra for his birthday, and on top of gifts, you know.
Right. I hate it when the courts got to get involved. Like,
yeah.
Especially, it really depends on the parents, I guess. Yeah. Like, because I never had to go through the child support thing, but it just sucks. Especially when you were going to send money.
Yeah.
And now it's like, oh, you got to send
this. Now you got it. Yeah. And it affects your credit, too, man.
Yeah, it does?
Yeah, man.
Whether you pay or not?
Whether you pay or not. So there was so when she had filed like back in February, and they started it back from February. I didn't get my first like bill, my child support bill, until June. So I didn't make any payments from February to June.
Right.
So it looked like negative payment, like it went negative on my credit. Like, I hadn't paid for those months. Mm-hmm. I was, because all of a sudden my credit score took I'm like, what the hell is going on? Mm-hmm. And then when we had a child support hearing, and I asked the judge, and she was like, yeah, that's why. We went all the way back from when she filed.
Okay.
I wish y'all would have told me.
Right, like, right.
But, I mean, it is what it is, you know. Again, like I said, we're cordial, and, yeah, so we take care of our business. But
right. But y'all not like, ha ha.
Nah, we ain't kicking it no time.
Dang, dang it. Was the divorce mutual? Y'all both wanted it?
Nah. It was more so me.
Oh, okay.
It was more so me.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Really? Oh, child support is coming for that ass.
Yeah, so that's another, I mean, you know, I don't want to say she was being petty, but at the same time, there were some other things. Like, she asked me at one point, she was like, well, how much do you think per month is good? I said, well, let's let the judge determine that.
Okay.
Because I'd be like, yeah, I'll give you $300.
Yeah.
But no, yeah. But, you know, I just wanted it to be fair.
Okay.
You know, I just wanted it to be fair.
And you feel also, like it was fair once they adjusted it, once you turned in the stuff?
Yeah,
felt like it's fair.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's good.
Yeah. It's, you know, it's still a lot, but it's like, okay, no, I get it. Because I know what she has to do.
Yeah.
I know what she has to do. Like, she's taking care of two boys.
Yeah.
Now she has a dude.
She on the front line.
Yeah, she has a dude that lives with her. You know, and sometimes I look at him, I'm like, yo, why ain't he kicking in? But it's not his job to take care of my boys.
Absolutely not.
You know, but, you know, like, there's a situation, like, you know, where there's some household stuff. I was like, yo, you need to talk to him. Because if he's going to be living there,
yeah,
you know, then, you know, he needs to take care of the household.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that started something else. And, yeah.
Yeah, man.
But, like, now we're all cordial. Like, you know, I called to talk to the boys Friday or Saturday. I think it was Saturday because I know some of the, I sent birthday gifts via Amazon, and I know some of them were delivered. So, you know, he picked up the camera phone. Was like, oh, yo, here's your boys, you know, blah, blah, blah. He was like, yo, I like the jacket. He was like, it's asking me questions about it. And my girl was sitting next to me. She was like, oh, he's awfully buddy. I was like, but it was like the first time him and I have ever really talked, and well, it was like, cool, you know. And I have no ill will against him. I mean, like, you know, unless he puts his hands on my boys,
of course,
then, you know, it's like I gotta rally the troops.
Yeah,
yeah.
Yeah, we go to Michigan in a van.
Yeah, but
the little van with the little circle window at the top that you can't really look out of. Like, yeah, goons in the back with dead presidents.
Yeah, we would have to wait till like May though, because it's cold, bro.
That's the best time to knuckle up, man.
When it's cold,
get them cold knuckles.
You get them cold. You get these cold hard hands.
Get the cold knuckles, man. That's one thing I will say in my divorce. Like, for me personally, I couldn't have anybody around the kids that early. Even though when we split, my kids weren't as young as yours. Mm-hmm. They were. This was 2012, so they were, Serene was 12, and then Sincere was 10.
Yeah.
Dang. I never had any women around the boys. It was like, you know.
That was a different conversation for her and I.
Yeah.
Her and I are similar in the sense that we like being in relationships. We like having companionship.
Right.
So it was inevitable that she would have somebody and that I would have somebody.
Right.
I told her, I was like, just let me know who this dude is.
Of course.
You know, don't just let it be a surprise, which it actually turned out to be a surprise because I went out there for her father's funeral, which happened to be a week before my son's birthday. Went out there, you know, a week early and everything. And she was like, by the way, I need to introduce you to somebody.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, oh, the shock value. I was like, oh, you got your little boyfriend here? Where is he?
Why do boyfriends always little? Like the new person, oh, you got your little girlfriend, your little boyfriend.
Well, what was crazy was he was standing next to me the entire time I'm saying this.
Yeah.
So he's like, and he's a little bigger than me. He's like looking down like.
Little, huh? That's what we do.
I'm like, all right.
He looked like Hagrid from Harry Potter. Little, huh? That's,
you know what's crazy is he. Everyone has said he's a Mexican version of me, which is weird because I'm a Mexican version of me.
Yeah.
Like, anyone who sees me is like, wait a minute, ain't you Mexican? I'm like, nah, bro, I'm mixed, but not a Mexican in me.
Yeah. Man, the little boyfriend.
Yeah, the little boyfriend.
At that time, they would just
They just start dating. Okay. So, yeah. But she, and like her thing was, she was like, look, I trust you enough to I trust you enough to pick someone who's right. Mm. I was like, well, that don't say much because I picked your ass, you know.
Oh,
but
she was right at the time.
She was right, you know.
Y'all was bubbled up. I remember. Y'all was Cake City, you know. But it's always that's relationships. It's always.
You see how silent I am right now.
Y'all was Cake City.
We was.
Man.
She was everywhere with me.
Yeah,
she was coming to all the shows. Everything, man.
Y'all was Hansel and Gretel. I mean, no, not Hansel and
Gretel. They was brother and sister, yeah, bro. That's nasty. Oh,
no. Y'all was Romeo. Not that's nah. Tragic, man. I'm trying to think of a couple that was healthy in literature.
It wasn't one.
The Macbeths. They did pretty well.
I don't know the story.
I don't know the story of Macbeths either.
Yeah.
Well, they loved each other.
Okay. Yeah, her and I definitely loved each other. Yeah. It's just, you know, every relationship is like you. I always compare it to a tree. You have the people who are your trunks, your roots, your branches, your leaves. Leaves fall off every season. Branches occasionally break off, it was just time for our branch to break off.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
so wait, is the relationship itself the whole tree, or are you talking about?
I don't know, man. I was just life. Trying to sound.
Yeah, because I was like, wait, so.
Somebody, one of y'all out there was feeling me. Somebody out there was like, yeah, man.
I didn't mean to deflate the metaphorical essence of what you was talking about, but like, is the tree.
The mangrove trees, you know, they grow in the tropics. They kind of intertwine.
See, there you go.
But are we talking about. Is that one particular relationship the whole tree, or are you talking about your life?
I'm talking about life in general. So I, like, my life is the tree.
So your relationship was a branch was a on branch, your tree.
Was a branch on my tree.
Okay, yeah, yeah, okay. I'm in now.
Okay.
I'm yes. in. So the leaves are just like stuff that, you know, yeah. one night stands, you know,
yeah.
falling yeah. out with
co-workers
friends.
And stuff yeah, like yeah, that. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then the, okay.
Yep.
So... Okay, all right. So now you're in another branch.
I am on another branch. This one's a little more solid. It feels a little more solid.
Always solid in the beginning.
It is, man. It is.
I feel like this is my take on relationships, because it always seems like the best thing smoking in the beginning.
Right.
But you gotta give it time. It's like how I review movies. It'd be like, Tony don't never get nothing. Five saxophones out of five. Like, you gotta give it time. You gotta give it time to be a classic.
Yeah, very true.
Everything feels like a classic in the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
Not everything, but like you. Oh man, she the one. We don't know yet.
Right.
You got to put time in. Like, you know, right. the honeymoon phase.
Oh yeah.
And then later on down the line, you'd be like,
"Can I tell you about this?" So her and I, we met like at the tail end of June,
mm-hmm.
right before 4th of July. Our very first date, we went out to this event that they usually have here in LA called Play. It's like a game night, whatever. Mm-hmm. We went there, and then right afterwards, we went to Denny's. We didn't leave each other's side till 7 in the morning. Like, we spent pretty much from 9:30 at night till 7 in the morning just talking.
Yeah.
And we talked every day since. Like, we moved super fast, but it was like...
Mm-hmm.
It just felt right, and we still going strong.
Yeah,
still going strong, like super strong. You know, and it's like every situation is different. Like, but yeah, she might be the one, man.
Okay,
we'll see.
Y'all live together?
Nah, man, I can't do that.
That's moving fast. That's what moving.
I can tell you, we did something that I never thought I would ever do. We got matching tattoos, bro.
Oh. That's even worse than the move-in.
Yes.
That's even worse than the move-in.
We got promise tattooed on our pinkies.
How you gonna be like, nah, man, the move-in is too much.
Listen, because...
Well, we got matching tattoos. Because
I can cover this up. You can't cover up, you know, rent.
You can kick out. You can move.
Who's getting... Okay, that just becomes so difficult. Like, who gets kicked out? Who... You know, it's but no, we have talked about it. Actually, we're just not in a position right now to move in just yet.
Yeah, I feel that.
Yeah,
I feel that. Yeah, man.
Yeah.
And so the boys, you talk to the boys on the phone. What are they talking about at 3 and 5?
Right. Let me tell you, man. Carter talks about nothing but bodily functions, bodily fluids, and dinosaurs.
Okay.
And chicken nuggets.
This lineup. Farts, dad, yeah. Farts, triceratops, nuggets.
Yes, and then sometimes they're combined with Triceratops farts, and you know, it's just
the boot shaped chicken nugget that you always get in McDonald's. It's always that boot shape.
That was my favorite one because it fit perfectly in a dip container.
In the dip. I used to love chicken nuggets from McDonald's, man. Whenever they would have a 20 piece on sale for $5,
come back, man.
The pull up was real.
Come back,
nah,
man.
I'm good.
You good?
Yeah. Oh, definitely good.
I haven't had McDonald's in a minute. I don't know if you know, but I was diagnosed with high cholesterol, high blood pressure, diabetes.
Damn.
Yeah, man. I completely changed my lifestyle.
You took an L in that doctor's appointment.
Bro,
it
was my first doctor's appointment in 11 years.
What were you doing?
Eating.
We are terrible at going to the doctor.
And that's, you know what?
But 11 years? Jesus.
Let's see.
That was a decade.
Yeah, man. Yeah. It was like my last doctor's appointment was when I got out the Navy in 2008.
Did you get STD checks?
Yeah, I got all that, bro. I'm clean.
No, I'm talking about within the 11 years.
Nah, man, I was out here living life to the fullest.
You was out here gambling. You don't know what you had.
Shaking dice, bro.
You was getting checked through your women.
Yeah.
Oh, you good?
Woo! You good?
I'm good, too. I wasn't sure.
Yeah, man. But I was strapping up. I wasn't just out here just raw.
You better strap up because you ain't know what was going on.
Oh, bro, I did not.
You could have had Ebola this whole time. never knew what you had.
Nope.
Man.
By the grace of God.
Fellas, man. Fellas. Wherever the camera's looking at me. Don't be doing this.
I wouldn't recommend it. I'm not here bragging.
No, you're not condoning it. But man, come on, guy.
I told when I found out, I immediately hopped on social media. Was like, yo, black men. Especially because like there's a thing like where we don't go to doctors.
We don't,
you know. And so I was like, "Yo, black, we gotta go to the doctor because my blood pressure was so high." He was like, "Dude, you're at stroke level right now." And I was like, first thing I thought about was my boys,
right?
You know, even now thinking about it, I'm getting emotional, and it's like they're so young, and my father wasn't really there growing up. So I was like, I have to be there for them.
Absolutely.
And at that moment, and this was a month ago.
Oh, this is this you just went to the doctor.
Yeah, this was like maybe about 5 weeks ago.
Jesus Christ.
And
Jason Bourne.
Bruh, in that month, I've already lost 25.
Oh, man, your body is waiting for you to make a change. Like when you get to a certain, like, overweightness, your body's like, please, just change something. And as soon as you do, the weight comes off fast in the beginning, then it'll slow down. But like, man, because I remember when I was 272, I made the lifestyle change. This was back in 2003. And I lost like 20-something pounds in 3 weeks.
I was scared at first because I was like, maybe they didn't catch something in my blood test. What's going on? I'm dropping weight like crazy.
Yeah.
And it was just.
What'd you change?
No sodas. Like, I drink really nothing, but I don't even really drink juice anymore.
Yeah.
You know, I enjoy it maybe like once or twice a week, you know. I'll cut out a lot of sugars. Fast food, done. This past weekend was my birthday, so I did dabble a little. Like, you know, I had that cheesecake, that pineapple upside down cheesecake.
What'd you have before that?
Oh, we went to that crab
What'd
place.
What'd you have?
I had shrimp and crawfish.
Okay. Fried shrimp?
No, they don't fry they do like the steamed shrimp or whatever. Okay. The same thing with the crawfish. I did have one soft shell crab, but I only ate half of it because it was like super greasy. So I was like, I'm
did
good.
You dip it in the butter sauce?
No, it came with the sauce. There was like a one had like a tomato based sauce, and the other one we did like a garlic butter. But man, like, let me tell you, I bought this air fryer.
Oh, yeah. I got one of those.
The one I have is a new one by Ninja. Uh-huh. And if anyone out there, Ninja, like, I need to do a commercial for you because I am an advocate. It's called the Ninja Foodie Grill.
Uh-huh.
It has a grill accessory.
Ooh.
Bro, when I tell you, like, I have yet to use it. I've had it about a month now. I have yet to use a pan.
Okay.
I use, like, for my vegetables, like, when I steam, like, the broccoli or the Brussels sprouts or kale, stuff like that. But everything else, air fryer.
Okay.
And grill.
You better watch out. They gonna tell Nikki, hey, he out here buying air fryer.
I got it as a gift for my birthday.
Yeah. Oh, so you got money for air fries now, trying to get your health back.
So I caught her Like, she, well, her dude slipped up. I was talking to him, and he was like, yeah, man, you know, because we were talking about buying the boys gifts, and he was like, yeah, man, we just bought Roman some Timberlands, man, and he already messed them up, and that was like $200. Oh. I was like, whoa, oh, y'all got $200 for Timberlands? Oh, y'all got $200 for baby Timberlands? First of all, I didn't know Timberlands cost $200.
Timberlands cost $200. But I would never buy a kid that age Timberlands.
No, my kids stay in the Vans outlet, the Converse outlet.
They have to. At that age, they're going to be tearing them shoes in half. Right. And I can't see. To see Timberlands raggedy just destroys my soul.
Like, I understand because they live in Michigan. They need boots. But.
Pay less.
Bruh.
The pay less boots.
DSW, all that stuff. All Famous that, footwear, man. All that, man.
Growing up in Chicago, man. Mm-hmm. Pay less. I had the snow wings instead of the pro wings. I had the snow wing boots. The cheap boots did the trick. You know what I'm saying? Because they too little to appreciate.
Oh, yeah. The shoe at that age. I thought you were talking about as a grown up. But you, how long?
Oh, no. As a grown up, I got bougie with shoes like probably like seventh grade.
Okay, yeah. But, that's when they started talking about you hard.
Oh, yeah. It was Rose City. When I went to a different school, they was like, man, you got on Eagles. Stadiums, man. They was on my shoes. I was like, Nikes henceforth. And I panicked and got the ugliest Nikes I could afford that matched none of my outfits.
I remember my first pair of Nikes. I was in, I think, seventh or eighth grade.
Mm.
And it's because I was on a basketball team. And my mom and dad bought me this pair of shoes called Stadia.
Yep. I had Stadias.
Yep. And I got lit up.
The Stadias would get you thrown on the grill.
Bruh.
Because it was, I moved into an area where they had more money. It wasn't like, you know, they was rich, but it was like, you know, when I had the pro wings on, I was killing them at my old school. We was all at Payless.
Mm-hmm.
When I moved over there, they was like, and the Eagles was a step up from the pro wing.
Yes.
I was like, I can get in with these Eagles.
Nah, bro.
Nah.
Do you remember the brand was that pretty much looked like Jordans? It was called like XJ900s or something.
Yeah. Oh, those, man. Those are like the bottom of the barrel, the XJ900s, because it was like all the numbers in there. They was like,
get them.
Jordans was something I couldn't even fathom.
Oh, I didn't even think about
it. I didn't even bother asking. My mom would have killed me just for asking.
I remember this kid on the basketball team showed up with some Jordans to play basketball in. He was like, yeah, man, paid $110 for these. I was like, what?
That's nosebleed prices in the 80s.
Like, I had a seizure just thinking, man, about it. $110 in it.
I've only recently started going over 100 for shoes.
Really?
Only in the last, like, couple years.
See, I blame my mother just because, like, I always, you know, just had, like, bottom-of-the-barrel shoes. Mm-hmm. And I always got made fun of. And I guess she did what she could as a single mother. But then once I got my own, like, making my own money, one of my first jobs was at Foot Action. So I had, you know, access to the Air Max and the Jordans and all.
With a discount?
With the discount.
With a discount.
But yeah.
Yeah, I couldn't work at a shoe store. I'd just be. Even though I'm picky ridiculous. With shoes, when I like a pair, I like to get it.
Mm-hmm.
So that accumulate. Like my shoe closet right now.
Ridiculous.
I'm about to get rid of some. Because I just need to get rid of it. Because it's coming to a point where I have so many, I'm not wearing them all. And so it's just like, all right.
I'm on this new thing where I'm kind of off the Jordan thing and all that. Like a lot of these, like Nikes and Converse and Adidas let you customize your own.
Mm.
Like you get customized shell toes. Oh, God. Yeah. Customized shell toes. Right, customized
take your time,
chucks.
Man. The stroke is kicking
What's my blood pressure?
Oh, you got a monitor?
Oh yeah, I got the Fitbit.
Oh hell
bro.
Yeah!
I'm all.
That's
in.
Right. I got to start wearing my Fitbit again.
I'm all in on this health thing, man. One thing I didn't mention was they thought I had heart disease too.
Really?
So I had to take like this extensive heart test over at the UCLA Medical Center at the VA where UCLA is, and they put me in this big old machine and all this, like, man, it was like, I've done the stress test before, but this was even more extensive.
Yeah.
And, you know, my results came back that my heart is healthy.
Okay.
You know, so it was like, you know, I'm just now starting to being able to work out You know, like I had stopped working out. Like, I don't know if you remember, I used to have that six pack.
When was this?
When I got skinny. Remember, Chaz even used to say, man, you skinny now.
You had a six pack?
Yeah, man.
I was around?
You was around. This was like 2011, 2012.
I don't remember.
I was full fit, bro.
You're going to have to queue up the pictures on I'm trying to remember with a six pack.
If y'all do some digging, you will see pictures of me, like, shirtless.
You were shredded up?
Yeah, man.
What happened, man? You was just eating?
Yeah, I love to eat, bro. I love different combinations of food. Oh. Like, foodie. I was a foodie, You know, even, like, doing things like, for instance, everyone knows what a bacon wrap hot dog is, right?
Oh,
so I made a bacon wrap hot dog, then I wrapped it in ground meat, grilled it. So I had a bacon wrap hot hamburger wrap hot dog, bro.
You was on the fast lane with that casket. It's like, you was like, let me wrap it in. You might as well have wrapped that dog in casket cheeks. You might as well have. You wanted this there.
That's the kind of stuff I was on, man.
You cooked it in a in a cremation oven. Like, yeah, I'm going to be in here in no time. Might as well fry it in here. Lord have mercy.
Yeah, man.
That was ridiculous.
But that's like, I love food. So I was always, like, even now, I love to cook, you know. And so, like, I thought about, like, opening up food trucks and stuff like that. Like, I used to, like, I made these pork rind nachos, right?
Oh.
Pork rind nachos with a cheddar chorizo beer sauce with pulled pork bacon. Yeah, man. Like, yeah. Like, that's the kind of stuff I was on. Like, I'm trying to be creative.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying?
Definitely.
I made Thanksgiving nachos. I had these sweet potato tortilla chips.
Uh-huh.
I did some pulled smoked turkey, put some cranberries on it. That's some mac and cheese.
That sounds good, actually.
Yeah, man, let me tell you.
That right there.
Because, you know, as a comedian, as writers, we're creative. So I'm even creative when it comes to food.
Yeah.
Bro, so
that was something that it sounded like it won't kill you right away until you brought the mac and cheese.
Oh, yeah, mac and cheese.
I was like, wait. With the sweet potatoes, the turkey, and the cranberries, that's not so bad right there.
It's good as an hors d'oeuvre, but not as a full meal. If you have something this big, it's okay. But if you have something this big,
full,
you're in trouble.
Full-blown plates.
Well, the nachos can be whole meals.
Yeah, it can. But not when you're putting, like deep-fried.
No, it's not healthy. But I'm just saying, we used to have nacho plates for dinner.
Oh, yeah.
And we used to do the nachos, and then we put the ground beef in there. We put the cheese on the top, put the plate in the oven.
Yes.
Let the cheese melt in the oven. Take that out. Sour cream, tomatoes.
Now,
lettuce.
Did you ever do it with Doritos?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
The regular Doritos was so good. I miss Doritos, man.
You don't eat Doritos?
I miss filth.
Dude. And I just gave it.
I don't miss meat. I just miss filth.
When I came home, like, I cleaned out, like, my cabinets, my refrigerator. I had so much stuff. Like, because I wouldn't eat meals, I would snack all day, you know, but I would maybe eat one meal a day, but everything in between, chips and all this other stuff.
Yeah.
Like, oh my God, like, you know what Biscoff cookies?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
Like, it's what they make the cookie butter out of. I had a Costco-sized box of it. Bruh.
Cookie butter is the devil. I remember I was getting that for a little bit. This girl I was dealing with at the time, like, cookie butter from Trader Joe's. I'm like, what?
Yeah.
You try it out. And I was like,
bro, cookie butter and vanilla ice cream.
Yeah.
See, let me stop. I'm on a different. Let me sip some
water. It's a journey.
Sip some water.
It's a journey, man. Maya, what you got over there on the control panel?
Well, both of our stories are about when is a child grown? The first one is a study of social workers who said that a child must be 12 years old or older to be left alone for 4 hours. How old do you think a child can be to leave them alone for 4 or more hours?
You say 12?
Mm-hmm.
I feel like I was left alone earlier.
Right, in a black family, you left alone as soon as you can make a sandwich.
Yeah. I feel like it was like that in the 80s and 90s. Now everybody's all tight, but like, I was definitely home alone before 12. But there was a time where I couldn't go home by myself. I had to wait for my brother to come get me. And then I'm trying to think of when I was like truly like alone for a good block of time.
I was around 10, but I was the only child too.
Yeah.
So I was around 10, I want to say around 10 years old when the first time I was just like left alone. And then on top of that, like that's when I was able to walk home from school and everything like that. So like I was never really home alone like for a long period of time because my mom would get off of work at like 4. I would get out of school at 3. You know, by the time I get home, my mom's home at 5, you know. Or my dad, when he was working construction, he'd be home 3:30, 4 o'clock, you know. So I was never really.
I think by the time I really started being home alone, it was when we was on 73rd and Bennett in Chicago. I had to take 2 buses to school. So I started doing that like. No. Before then, when we was on Calumet. Okay, so. I'm thinking 12, 13. This is like 89. So I was probably about 12 was probably when I started being home alone. Like for real, like I would go home by myself, key in the door. I had a key. I'm in there like, yeah, I'm at the crib. I'm making burgers in the oven.
Yeah.
You know, remember when you would broil burgers, how slimy they would get on the top? I hated that slime. I'd be like, yeah.
You scraping burger patties like toast.
Yeah, you would broil it. And it was just, that was my first way of cooking burgers because I was by myself at the crib. And I was like,
couldn't use the pan.
Yeah, she didn't trust me with the skillet yet. And I probably would have had the fire high and the grease. You know, we were getting the basic ground beef, so it was super greasy.
It was like 40, 60.
Man, it would pop. It was a shootout in the kitchen with the burger.
The patties start off this big, and then by the time you're done, it's the size of an Oreo.
Had the flame on max. That grease was shooting at you when you come in the kitchen, like, psh, psh, I'm flipping the table over, hiding behind it. I got to get the spatula. It was just, we need reinforcements. But yeah, so I think 12 is when I started really feeling fully functional, doing stuff on the solo tip.
So. Yeah, I was like, I want to say I was like 10, but I remember one of the first things I did when I was home alone, I used to roast marshmallows. I would get like a fork and put marshmallows, and like roast the marshmallows. And one day, it was a barbecue fork that I had it on, and marshmallow caught on fire. Instead of me blowing it, I blow it out, I start shaking it. And I shook it real hard, and I look at the fork, and it's gone. And I look up, and all of a sudden, I just hear a smack on the back of my hand. I had a flaming marshmallow.
Oh.
And as you can see, I still got the burn.
You still got the burn. Man.
Yeah, man. I remember my mom came home, and I had my hand all wrapped up with ice and everything. I was being all over. She's like, what happened? Got a whooping over some marshmallows.
She didn't know you was roasting marshmallows on the solo tip.
Nah.
That was a risky move.
It was.
Because marshmallows be waiting to catch fire. And like, yeah.
It's actually funny you say that because this story, in the survey, they responded differently whether the child got injured or not. So if the child was injured by being left home alone, they say it's neglect. But if it wasn't, they said, no, it's fine. So right now, there is no standard of when you can leave a child home alone.
Yeah, I think it all depends. I mean, you can tell when I think parents know when their child is mature enough.
Yeah.
You know, and also, it also depends. Like I said, like, for my situation, you know, both my parents, my dad left when I was 11.
Mm-hmm.
But both my parents worked. And it was like, they either had to take off work early to come get me, and my school was like 4 or 5 blocks away, or I just walk home. And they're like, you know what? He can be home for an hour. You know, and that's what it was. It just what it had to be.
Yeah.
Know? So
it's usually like what it had to be. Just be home for an hour. We'll be home. Like,
yeah.
All right.
It was like, don't answer the door for nobody.
Right.
Don't answer the phone.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, but what if you call? I'm like, no, don't answer the phone. my mom called one time. I was like, hello? I thought I told you not to answer the phone. I'm like, she got
you out here not listening, boy. I'm on my way. You getting the whooping.
Yep. But yeah, it's what it had to be, you know. And I think, you know, nowadays so many people are looking for somebody to tell on.
Mm-hmm. You know.
Like that's why we don't do that's why parents nowadays don't do the things that happened to us,
right.
You know, growing up, because like so many eyes are on us. There's cameras everywhere. So many people ready to snitch, you know, and stuff like that. So
yeah,
really just depends.
This depends on the kids, man. Like when you see, you know how your kids do. Be like, man, if you was by yourself for a full day, this house would be in shambles.
Oh yeah.
Well, some kids, you like, you know what? I'll be right back. You leave for 7 hours, come back. I knew I could trust you.
Yeah.
You gotta throw the kids in the water sometimes.
Do you think there should be some sort of national standard so parents know?
Nah, because it really depends on the kid. Yeah. Because, you know, some kids are trash. Some kids, even that 17, trash. 18, like, I don't know how you going to live by yourself.
Yeah, man.
You worry about that. Even when they old. Some adults I see be like, God damn, man. Do you have any home skills?
Right. Oh, absolutely.
Man.
I know some adults. They be like,
yeah.
Bruh, how you going to survive?
How you going to survive by yourself?
Yeah, man.
You just see the habits and the traits, and you be like, look, you are not built for living alone.
Right.
And keeping, like, an adequate dwelling. You know, so it's like, it just depends.
Yeah, it really does.
That should be the standard. It depends.
Yeah. I feel like it should be just like a driving test. The kids should have to take a test.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like.
They come in, checklist. Oh, look at this over here. What's that, a marshmallow burn?
Yeah.
They're checking you off.
Right,
oh,
right.
Oh, burger grease all over the kitchen. All right.
You know, it's going to be that one kid, like, home alone that's going to have everything set. Oh, like, oh, he's set.
Mm-hmm.
He's a survivor.
He got
Hot Wheels under the window, broken Christmas
tree. Kevin McAllister was living his best life in that house.
Let me tell you. So I read something that said Kevin McAllister grew up to be old boy from Saw.
Oh, I peeped that yesterday. I peeped that list. It was like dark secrets about Home Alone.
Yeah.
Talking about his dad was a mob boss. That's why he got defensive when he was in. What, am I under arrest or something? I saw that whole list. I was like, yo, this is wild.
Kevin McAllister grew up to be Jigsaw.
He could be.
He wanna play a game. Yes. Oh, yeah.
Kev was too happy to be solo, man. Too many tricks up his sleeve.
Oh, yeah.
He would have killed people in real life.
Oh,
the stuff he put them through, an iron to the forehead.
Bruh, death. I watched Home Alone 2 like this past weekend. He threw a brick at old boy's head.
Oh, that'd have been that'd
from
been
the second
the
story.
That'd have been the end of the movie right there. But like, the brick.
Yes.
Joe Pesci dies the first brick and the second brick. And he caught like three bricks on the ground.
He caught him to the face.
And then he finally called Joe Pesci. That's the end of the movie
that's
in real
it.
Life.
That's
bricks
it,
from that
bro.
High? Oh, horrible
that's
death.
It. The head catching on fire. When he dipped his head was already on fire. He dipped his on fire head into a bowl of kerosene.
Whoosh.
Death.
They still would have died before they got to that level in the game. What's his name got electrocuted?
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Death.
Yes.
The toolbox coming down the steps.
Yep.
I like Home Alone 2 better than the first one.
The setup was definitely a little bit better.
Like, I laughed harder at the pranks at the end.
Yeah.
And then up until the point, it had more interesting characters than the first one, like Tim Curry and Rob Schneider. And,
yep.
I don't know. I just, you know.
He was asking for tips.
He like, yeah, he was like, oh, sorry, sir. I still had some tip left over. And he was like, oh, all right. Yeah, that water cash. But the mob boss money. Look at the hotel he was staying in New York.
That's true.
Sabrina took me to that hotel when we was in New York. We walked over there. I was like, oh, this is it. This is where it all. I was looking for the pigeon lady.
The pigeon lady, yes. Mm-hmm.
But what else is going on, Mike?
Well, according to a global survey by the Murdoch Global Research Institute, they found that the average age worldwide, so of all 193 countries, for children to switch from a pediatrician to a regular doctor is 17.4 years old.
Oh,
so that's when people are considered grown. In the United States, it's 19 years old.
What?
Yeah, pretty old. And in South Africa, it's 11 and a half.
Oh, South Africa, you out here. Fully realized at 12.
They out on their own. Yes, absolutely.
You got a pension, a briefcase. You 12. Documents with nothing on them.
At 12, you seen a grown-up doctor. I feel like my balls ain't dropping 12.
Man, 12? But 19 is too old.
You know what? I think the 19.
From a pediatrician?
I think those are the kids that are with a parent on a parent's, you know, insurance
or
whatever.
That's ridiculous, man.
Because I stopped seeing my pediatrician once I got hair down there.
I mean, yeah.
My mom was like, no, you don't need to be going to no little.
As a pediatrician, I'd be like, once I see hair, I'd be like, all right, you got the, you moved up. You yeah, moved up.
You go next
get
door.
Get your hair out of here.
Get you and your hair.
Yeah, once they do the cough, and oh, is that hair? You in the wrong place. Yep.
Did you have a male or a female, or a man or woman?
I would get both because I was going to different like people. I didn't have a set doctor the whole time. So when I would get physicals and they would, you know, paw up the package, I was like, yeah.
I grew up next to my pediatrician. Mm. Like she lived next door, and that was awkward because like, you know, she would know like certain, like I remember hearing a conversation like, you know, Ryan's about to go through puberty. You know, her telling my mom, I'm like,
that's great, man. Like thinking back as a kid is weird, but thinking back, yeah. I would love to live next door to my doctor. I'd be getting on their nerves though. I'd be like, so my legs are numb this morning. You see me in the office? No, right here. Right here. You're right here.
On the toilet. That's what you call the doctor over.
I'm telling you, I'll be I felt weird last night. Come on, man.
Yeah, man.
I would love it though, but
I can see how as an adult how I would love it, but at the same time how the doctors probably live next.
Especially you don't go to the doctors. You need that.
I do now. Let me tell you, I've been to the doctor at least twice a week.
Yes.
Ever since.
Man.
I got a doctor's appointment. Today's Tuesday. I got a doctor's appointment on Thursday.
Yes. I'm proud of you, man.
It's a therapist, actually, man.
Oh.
Yep, I'm going to see a therapist.
I've been thinking about doing therapy. Stand-up is my therapy.
I used to say that, but then it's, you know, as comedians, we can talk to each other. We make each other laugh. But one of the things I used to, I told my therapist recently, I was like, you know what? I was like, people always, my non-comedian friends call on me to make them feel better.
Yeah.
It's like, I don't have nobody to call on. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like, I mean, I could talk to y'all, but y'all, you know, everyone's dealing with their own kind of thing. And I don't feel right, you know, putting myself on other people.
Yeah. And then we're going to start roasting you,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, bro. Like, what you?
Oh, you got a daddy issue? Having a stroke?
Yeah, right. Right. Exactly. So, you know, like this, like in the three sessions that I've had have been amazing.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've been thinking about doing that too. Getting some young therapy.
Do it, man.
I think we should all do it. Like if I wasn't doing stand up, I would have been in the therapist sooner. But I really feel like because I'll be opening up on stage, I'll be like, man, listen, and then I get that out in front of people, and it's just like, and I feel better opening up in front of strangers,
right?
The people I know, because I feel like it's less judgment. Even though the crowd be judging.
Oh, crowds are so
But I don't care. It's just like, right. Oh, y'all think y'all better than me? And then I just, you know.
Right.
But I'm not personally attacked or offended.
Right.
When you tell somebody you're close to, you can feel like, oh, you think I'm a horrible person.
But, like, are there areas in your life that you don't talk about on stage?
Only because protection for the other people involved. That's the only reason. Like, for me.
You got goosebumps?
It's chilly. Like, for me, I don't mind. But, like, you know, because it was stuff I was talking about on stage. I'm like, Mom, you mind if I talk about this? She's like, I don't want my business. I was like,
yeah.
I'll shelve it or, like, stuff like that.
But. Like, and I get it because, like, one of the jokes I get the most response of when I talk about how Carter caught me beating off one time.
Uh-huh.
You know, oh, yeah, as a 2 year old. And I didn't have, my response was like, you want some juice? Like, I couldn't think of nothing. Like, you know, when you got your stuff in your hand, your 2 year old standing right there looking at you, it's like, I didn't know what else. I was like, go sit down. You want some juice? I had, so like, I could tell that on stage, but like for instance, you know, I'm about to open up, like my dad was abusive. So I never said you still laugh. I don't know if you laughing at me getting abused by my father.
No, it's just you give me a chance to recover. Let me catch my breath like dynamite.
No, but like I don't think I could ever talk about that on stage. So that's what I go like talking about stuff like that on, you know.
I would definitely, you know, I've never been abused, but like I would definitely talk about that on stage. Like if it was something where I felt like, you know, I was the victim of somebody, I would feel free enough to be like, oh, I'm gonna talk about it. And I wouldn't care about the other person because you did me wrong anyway. So
right,
I'm talking about it all.
Right.
And I would definitely have no problem being like, man, I was abused. This, that, mm-hmm. man, you would just beat me just for walking up. And then, you know, go from there. But
right.
Like, but I get it. Like, mm-hmm. but that beating off and you want some juice?
Right.
The scramble for anything, you want some juice.
And with, you know, and someone, I remember telling that, and somebody was like, did you make that into a joke? I'm like, no, that I tell the story exactly how it
That's
happened.
That's bad funny, man.
Like, you can't make that up.
But now he going to be traumatized about juice.
Bro, let me tell
you. People going to be like, would you like some juice? He going to be like.
No lie. Two weeks later, Nicole was changing his diaper. And he was playing with himself. He's like, juice. And she gonna know now.
His whole life, juice is that.
Yes. His juice is associated.
So you've been juicing, huh? Yeah, I've been juicing. I've been juicing.
Yep.
Man. Oh, that's funny.
Sorry, make that. Man. Look, folks, you can't make up comedy. Like, it's. You want some juice?
What was you scrambling with your shorts?
Right now, so I was in the bathroom. He was supposed to be taking a nap, and so I had the laptop open. And
was the door open?
Yeah, because he was sleeping, and so I was like, okay,
that was
like
a risky move.
I was like, I can hear so of the foot, you know, of the feet. It was a very risky move, but you know, I was into it. I got to a point where my head was back, my eyes was closed. I was into it, and I didn't hear the footsteps. And then Carter, he still does it, but sucks on his fingers.
You close your eyes during the juice?
But during the juice, I was all in, bro. I was all in.
I've never closed my eyes during the juice. I'm fully like.
You trying to see. I was into it, man. I thought I was, you know, alone.
You was out of here. You was like, yeah.
Oh, bro, I was full.
The whole family in the bathroom, like.
Yeah, man, and like literally, like Carter sucks on his finger, so that's what I heard. Like, I looked up, I was like, ooh, and I was like, do I close the laptop because I'm watching porn? Do I close the laptop? Do I put my stuff away? What? And that's what caused the mad scramble. It was like, yeah, go sit down. You want some juice? Let me tell you, juice. Parents understand. Kids love juice. So you could just, you know, whatever it is, you can offer them juice and they'd be like, yeah, I want some juice. You know, so I just did whatever I could to get them out of there, man.
Juice, man. He can see you murdering somebody. Oh, you want some juice? Yeah. Putting the gun up in your trousers.
Exactly.
Oh, man, dog. That's so funny.
Real life.
And you don't know how long he was standing there.
Oh, bro. He could, no.
He could have been there for the long.
He could have been there from jump. Because I told you, I thought he was asleep, so I was into it.
Oh, man.
I was into it.
Was your pants all the way down?
Around the ankles.
Oh.
Around, there was no pulling up. There was no. It was.
You was fully relaxed.
Fully, yeah, I was fully relaxed and all in, bro.
You just really just be, because for me, my eyes be open, pants barely pulled down.
See, you got to get into it.
Nah, I'm into it.
You're not fully into it if your eyes open, you looking around.
I mean, you know, I like to know what's going on. And plus, I'm looking at something.
Oh, I was looking at
that's I'm watching right. This. You like, forget
hey, man,
all
can
this.
Can you not judge my masturbation style?
I'm to the heavens on this one.
Into the light.
Oh, man.
Yeah, man.
Sorry, Maya, you had to hear all this.
Yeah, sorry.
That's funny. Whew. What else is going on before we get out of here?
We'll have one audience question.
Okay.
And since we're already filthy, I'll go for this one. Trey Tucker asks, how y'all doing? I'm just wondering if it's possible to make it in the entertainment industry without doing stuff I'm not into. He said dabbling in drugs, weird parties, or favors. I already know the industry is crazy and everything ain't what it appears to be. But for some people that want to make it the money and want to make the money and provide for my fam without any funny business. So I guess he wants to make money and provide for his family without doing anything weird.
Mm.
Is that possible?
Well, the thing about Hollywood being what it... What did he say? Hollywood is not what it seems to be? Is that what he said?
He says he knows the industry is crazy and everything isn't what it appears
He's
to
heard
be.
Rumors.
And that right there, Hollywood isn't what it appears to be is the main thing, because everybody says you got to do this to get on. That's not
true.
True. You know what I'm saying? So that right there is a Hollywood fallacy in itself. Like I've never had somebody proposition me or like, nope. Yeah, you want to, you know, maybe it does happen. But I don't think you have to do anything out of your character or out of your comfort zone or anything like that.
Absolutely.
To make it.
Absolutely.
Now, granted, I haven't fully made it yet, but I still feel like.
You've made it, man.
I don't feel like I have to, man, I got to smash a producer.
Right.
You know, nah, that's ridiculous.
Yeah, I've never been propositioned or had to do anything, but I think one of the things, like, because he alluded to, like, doing weird stuff. Like, you see people who are doing, like, the cinnamon challenge and stuff like that.
Yeah.
The Tide Pod challenge to try and make it.
Yeah.
You don't have to do that, man. There's other lanes to do, you know, what you want to do without having to do outside of your comfort zone. Do what you feel comfortable doing.
Right.
And if you're not comfortable doing something, don't do it. You're going to make it regardless.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if it's meant for you, it's going to happen. So just be you, bro.
Yeah. I think that myth is really embedded in people's minds. Like, you gotta
well, because you hear so many rappers talk about it and other actors, like the casting. You hear about the casting couch. You hear about so-and-so smash so-and-so just so they can get a record deal and stuff like that. Like, nah, man.
And I mean, I'm not saying it doesn't ever happen.
Right.
I'm not saying it's not out here. I'm not. It could.
Yep.
But I don't feel like that's the only way
to get
ahead is to do all of that.
Do you think it's different for men and women?
Well, where women is a definite difference to it. But it's a lot of gay men with positions of power in this industry. So it's a lot of men getting propositioned too. So it's definitely.
You want some juice?
Yeah, like, you want some juice? Like, wait, what you talking
what
about?
What you mean, bro?
Kind of juice you? Oh, all right. So listen, but it's definitely women have to move differently in all walks of life. Period, and that goes for Hollywood
Absolutely.
Too. They got to be extra protective of themselves. They got to watch out for predatory actions getting used for their body. So they have to have the extra protection on, the extra armor at all times. Not women out here getting kidnapped tough on the sex trafficking tip.
Man.
So that's a whole nother. So definitely for women, it's but at the same time, like some women do use their body to climb the ladder. Like, yeah, I'm going to sex my way to the top with no apology.
Yeah.
Like, you know, I feel like I don't have that that luxury. Man, I'm about to sex my way to the top.
Bro.
Who wants some of this bait? They be like, man, sit your ass down. Oh, all right, well, I'm here if you need it.
Yeah, nah, man.
Yeah, I don't think I can sleep my way to the top, but
I tried.
But if I was Mom Dickie, though, like.
Oh, man.
Oh. Come on, man, you know what I'm saying? Where I can smash dudes and women, you know, if I was that guy.
If you were that guy,
I'd be like, yeah, I'm at the top now. You slept your way to the top.
And?
I did.
Yeah, but like, and?
And. I'd be on Barbara Walters. I did all that, Barbara.
Oh, yeah.
Look at the camera. Yeah. I smashed everybody to get here.
Tell them how I smashed you, Barbara.
Yeah, Barbara, you act like we wasn't smashing before the interview. Look at your wig. Look at your wig. I did that.
Your wig is like T.I.'s beanie.
This is off to the side. I did that, man. And when the camera stopped, we're going to do it again, Barbs.
Oh, yeah.
But, yeah. So, yeah, man, you can definitely still, you know, do something in this business without selling your soul.
Be yourself.
Yeah, man.
Because yourself is who are people going to be attracted to,
right?
At the end, so.
And you don't have to do all these stupid internet viral stuff just to get attention either. No. Don't go that route either. Stay in your lane, and the audience will find you. Just be consistent in whatever you do, though.
Consistency is key.
Yeah, that's the major theme that runs through any bouts of success.
Yep,
consistency.
Yep. If you ask any YouTube influencer, they post 3, 4, 5 times a week. You know, you know, if you doing comedy, we were doing open mics 2-3 times a day. I know you were doing 4 or 5 sometimes.
Yeah,
you know, but every night of the week you got to hit a stage. As a writer, I write every day. every single day I write. If it's a paragraph, cool. If it's a if it's a outline, if it's a script, if it's a synopsis, whatever.
Right.
I write every single day.
Mm-hmm.
Consistency.
Yep.
Is the key. Consistent
key.
Yeah.
Is consistency. What I call it. Oh, nice. I see what you
mean. Huh? Right, guys? Yeah. Nothing. All right. Anyway. We over time, man. Thanks for coming, man.
Thanks for having me.
I'm going to have you back up in here, man. We're going to talk about juice and other things of that nature. And
can my beard come?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I want to hear more from the beard all next time. He would have closed the door and had his pants up still. Had the beard been caught. The beard would have never been caught.
That beard never.
He'd be like, I left the juice on the counter. As soon as your kid was reaching for the door now. The juice is on the counter. I know you're out there. I'm already prepared.
Oh, yeah, man.
Tell people where they can find you.
Oh, man. Find me on Instagram, at Ryan Loomis, RyanLumas. Facebook, Ryan Anthony Loomis. And YouTube, Ryan Loomis. And also, watch on Bounce TV, Family Time and In the Cut. I'm a writer on both of those shows, as well as Wildin' Out.
Oh, man, you out here, man.
Yeah.
You better than us out here,
a little bit,
man. We want that child support.
See, that's why I'm doing all this work.
Y'all want it, man. We want our cut. Y'all can find me at Tony Baker Comedy on everything, TonyBakerComedy.com. If you're in Virginia, I'll be at Virginia Beach Funny Bone this weekend. Six shows, actually.
Nice.
Thursday through Sunday. And then Tampa, I'll be there Thanksgiving weekend.
Get that work.
Friday through Sunday. So pull up if y'all in those areas, man. I'm coming out there, man. Don't leave me out here lonely with nobody at the shows, man. And thank you, Maya, for holding us down.
Thank you, Maya.
At the Command Center.
Yes.
If you have any questions, ask them in the YouTube comment section. We'll tackle them on the show. Don't forget to like, share, and subscribe. And tell your friends. Tell your loved ones. Put everybody on to the daddy issues. And we out here.
Yeah, we out.
The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall.
No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn.
But hurry, these offers won't last forever.
Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
Sally from finance loves fly fishing. She used to spend her weekend surrounded by receipts. Then she switched her company to Ramp. Now, spend is all under control, all in one place. Her team submits their expenses with a text, and she can close the books without all the busy work. So Sally's weekends are all her own, surrounded by fish, not receipts. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.